Welcome to the Bill Marsh Automotive Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show. I'm Rich Calkins along with Jerry Coyne. And Jerry, man, what a great night, Friday night of action around Northern Michigan.
Yeah, it hasn't been typical so far this year, Rich, with COVID, which the jumbled up schedules, getting some of the girls games on Fridays and everything else. But throughout the state, an incredible amount of basketball games with college basketball, high school basketball becoming more clear and focused, more fans getting excited about it, and you called a dandy last night.
Oh, sure did. Again, two of the teams that we cover here on Blarney Stone Broadcasting and Up North Sports Radio, Traverse City West beat Petoskey for the second time this year, this time 46-37, and what a game it was. Of course, Grayling also, they beat Elk Rapids, a very good Elk Rapids team, so those were great games. But in our game, in the game over at Traverse City West, it was really West was in command right from the get-go. At the end of one, they were up 15-4. So
wow.
They took command early. You know, low-scoring affair, that's what you expect with a Traverse City West game. But I tell you what, in that fourth quarter, Petoskey come back, and they were within one. They never led throughout the game whatsoever, and they got within one, but the kids stayed composed. Made their free throws, did a good job controlling. Petoskey tried to put pressure on them, and West handled it well. And really just and then run it out to a 9-point win at the end.
Well, hard to beat a team twice, especially a talented team like Petoskey, even though we've documented a couple of their lost players that have really changed the outlook for that team. But we're in conference play now, so you got to win, especially at home, Rich. You got to win your conference games at home.
You do, absolutely. You have to defend that home court, no doubt about it. That is important. And West did that last night. So they've beaten their last two games. They've beaten Cadillac and they've beaten Petoskey.
Yeah, before we get to Coach Bauman's interviews, just your takeaway, especially since many of the people that are listening didn't hear or go to the game.
Right. Yeah, no doubt about it, JC. Again, Coach Bauman decided full court pressure against this Petoskey team was going to be key. They did that. They did create a fair number of turnovers, but yet it wasn't as many. But it just wreaked havoc with the whole Petoskey offense. It was a little discombobulated. They wouldn't get turnovers in the backcourt, but once they even got over the timeline, they would throw the ball away or do something like that. And it was all part because of that pressure defense. They just couldn't handle it for like 15 seconds.
Yeah, well, there is no 24-second or 30-second
right.
clock, although I hear a lot of discussion of they wanting to bring in a 45-second clock, which I would agree with.
I do, too, because what stops a truly undermanned or a team that is inferior to another team to hold the ball and do the four corners thing for four quarters? I've seen it happen before, and I've talked to officials why they don't do that, or athletic directors, and they said the reasoning I was given a couple of years ago, JC, was that they would have to have another official at the game because you have to have an official. This is what they were telling me, another official to run that clock.
Well, no, they don't.
They
got enough. Three is too many officials on the court, if you ask me anyway. Same thing with four officials on a hockey rink. It's not necessary. You know, the games are over-officiated for the most part anyway. So having one guy just more or less paying attention to the 45-second clock, you do have the 10-second clock.
Yes.
You have the 5-second throw-in rule. You got the 10-second, get it over half-court line. And under those circumstances, I guess especially as high school kids, you know, you don't want to turn that ball over in the 10 seconds. But as soon as you get over the timeline, set the offense.
Yes,
you know, forget
exactly.
about the pressure. But, you know, we've seen the athletes at TC West and their ability to get get pressure on.
Right.
Just because you don't get turnovers doesn't mean that you it's not effective.
Right, exactly, because you can tell by a team's half-court offensive sets and all that. When they're not ran smoothly, it's most likely because of the defense and the pressure that an opposing team is running. And like you said, when you got quick athletes guarding you all the time, it's just like little water bugs everywhere, and it kind of in your mind, it messes with you a little bit.
Yeah, there's no doubt, especially if you're not a very confident ball handler.
Right.
Or especially if you're not a starter.
Yes.
You bring people in off the bench and you don't work on that constantly in practice. Going back just very briefly to the free throws, I don't know, a lot of people listening to our broadcast here may have seen the Michigan-Northwestern game. Northwestern lost that game to Michigan because they missed five free throws down the stretch.
Exactly. And that was a perfect example of how that fouling, strategy works.
Jimmy Valvano pretty much created that strategy of fouling to get back into basketball games. And by now, it's expected.
It is, absolutely.
But you still got to make your free throws.
You do. If you don't get that steal when they inbound initially, then you got to foul, because when time is not on your side, you got to get the ball back and score.
Yeah. So kudos to Petoskey. Kudos to TC West in their win over Petoskey. Let's play you our post-game interview with Coach Doug Bauman.
Coach Doug Bauman joining us after a big 46-37 win over Petoskey. A sole possession, a second place right now, Coach, and depending on what transpires with the Cadillac Gaylord game, we'll see what happens there. But good effort by the kids. How did the week of practice? We haven't played since last Thursday down in Cadillac. It's been a little over a week. How did they respond with the week of practice?
They had a great week of practice. They're just motivated now. They just want to come out and work hard. And, that's why I told our bench guys today, a lot of them didn't get in. Some of them didn't get in at all. But those bench guys of ours have just been playing so hard in practice, pushing that first 8 or 9 every day, making us better. And that's been the key, actually, this week, is that second group has come in and just really pushed that first group and really made them work hard and execute offensively, made them work defensively a lot. So that's really where the success has been this week, is that second group of kids on the bench.
That's always nice. Coach, that's where things, it's so nice to be able to have that kind of that week off. We actually have another week off coming forward here, so lots of practice time. Kids may not be nearly as happy with that because they love to play games, of course, but as a coaching standpoint, you can work on so many things. Your pressure defense really was a big key tonight, too.
It was. We didn't get as many turnovers out of it, but I thought that we were able to hurry them a little bit more than they wanted to, just because of that pressure. And that's a lot of what that that 100 green, as you've heard us call it, is. It's just is really kind of we call it the giddy up, trying to get them to giddy up and go a little faster they wanted to. And we showed up hard tonight again, held them under 40. So a great defensive effort on the guys' part.
Yeah, no question about it, Coach. We got a big game. We don't play till what, next Friday night again, and that's over at Crosstown Rivals.
Yep.
So looking forward to that. We're going to do the doubleheader. So we're going to do the girls' game first, and then we'll do the guys' game, of course. Central came here, beat us a couple weeks ago, but let's get them back over there.
That's what we're hoping, stay atop the conference and get a little redemption for our home game. But, yeah, great win for us tonight. Petoskey's a great team and has really come along, since the first time we played them and since the beginning of the season watching film on them. So Coach Tam's really got them going as well.
They've got some height and some big kids with some soft hands, and so... Again, part of the reason why Will Gaston, not only from the offensive standpoint, but the rebounding, he does his normal things in there. And, man, you can when he needs a break, believe it or not, he does get tired occasionally. but man, it really is noticeable when you don't have that jumping jack in there. It kind of changes the whole dynamic.
That's a great a description of Will there. He is a jumping jack. He's just an athletic human being.
Oh.
And when he shows up like he did tonight, we're a much better team. We called him Big Shot Josh tonight.
He hit some big threes
for us there. And I was just real happy with the composure. Petoskey went on that run there to cut it from, I think, 11 down to 2 or 1. And we didn't face us. The guys stayed composed. We talked about, obviously, we needed to box out. They went on a run there, and a lot of that had to do with us not being able to box out, not being able to be the defense. But yeah, Josh came down, hit some big shots for us. Ian knocked down some free throws, and again, just a great effort win for us.
It was. Like you said, that composure was big. Looked a lot like Matthew Stafford with the big throws in the game last week, Coach, but that's for another time. But that was great. That was a great, like you said, the composure by the kids. It would have been easy. All the momentum was Petoskey's way at that point, taking that lead that you guys had down to 1 point, and all of a sudden it had flipped in a short time. It's like they were fired up, but your kids stayed calm and weathered the storm.
They have been doing a phenomenal job of that year, just understanding, and we call it the roller coaster. Where there's going to be highs and there's going to be lows, and sometimes those highs are highs, and sometimes those lows are lows.
Right.
But when you look at it across the board, it all even out, and that's what they understood today. But yeah, their composure, ball handling, just executing when we needed it, setting good screens, and we were able to get good open looks because of Josh. Josh coming off those.
Okay, Coach, like JJ said, we had the Fox Motors motivated player of the game was Will Gaston. Who's going to be the Jimmy John's player of the game?
I think I'd have to give it to Josh there, just coming up with those big shots down the end, and again, you know, with a split nose bleeding everywhere, he was able to just to bear down and you know, make some big shots for us. So I would say Josh, and then parent-wise, I'd say Mike Redmond, Dom's dad there. Dom has had some injuries, some illness, and been able to get him back into it. So again, relying on the parents to keep us healthy. So just a great win for us. Again, staying the fight there for the conference championship, and just super proud of these boys. They have just been working their tails off, and again, that junkyard dog mentality comes through for us again.
Love it, love it. Love that brand of basketball, man. I love it. If there's chaos out on the floor, I love it even more.
We like to call it controlled chaos.
Yes, exactly. Yep, that's exactly right. Well, congratulations on the win. Sole possession of second place and looking up towards first, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
Doug Ballman, thank you very much. Yep, another win for the Traverse City West Titans.
Well, there you go, Rich. You know, Coach Ballman is doing a really good job with his squad. When we first started following the team and broadcasted, they had a number of rough outings.
Yeah, they did.
And we talked about whether or not the week-long or eight-day layoff of playing games would be a hindrance or a help to this team. And obviously, it's turned out well.
And especially coming off an emotional win, beating the first place team. The Cadillac team had not lost a game in conference, and they lost. Yes, again, Cadillac was without their 6'9 big man, Genema.
Who had 24 last night.
Yeah, exactly. Just to show you the difference when he played. And Gaylord battled that. Give Gaylord some credit. They battled a good Cadillac team with Genema playing and getting 24. So that's absolutely right. This is his first year at TC West. So the kids, you know, early on, JC, as you know, you're getting to know the coach. The coach is getting to know the kids. And Coach Ballman said he likes to come in not having any prejudice or any understanding of the team itself. He wants to see how they play for him. He didn't want to have come, oh, this kid's an automatic starter, this kid's that. Of course, he'd heard things. He just wants to see with his own eyes and his coaching staff what they see and how the kids perform for them. And I tell you what, it's working out really well right now.
Well, I mean, we've seen many teams where somebody off the bench is a huge spark plug. It's happened since the Midland game.
Yes.
Whether they get in foul trouble or he starts rotating his guys over to keep the energy level on the floor at its maximum potential. And that's always a great thing when your bench is there's no drop off between the bench and the starters, and it leads to a lot of great team chemistry.
Oh, it does, because you know, last night, for example, you and I talked about it off air a little bit. The leading scorer on the team, Jonathan O'Connor, who's averaging double figures, he was held to 4 points last night. He contributed.
That usually means a loss.
It usually does, absolutely. Yeah. But he contributed in other ways. He didn't hang his head. He's a good team player. The kid rebounded. He got steals. He was diving on the floor. He did all kinds of stuff to still be super involved, but they purposely took him out of his offense But hey, other kids stepped up, you know, the Hershenbergers, the Will Gastons. I mean, Will Gaston.
Was not in foul trouble for a change.
Yes, exactly. And he was fresh because he didn't play down in the Cadillac game. And so he was just like, he was jumping. He was head and shoulders. The Petoskey team has a lineup of 6'6", 6'5", 6'5". But Will Gaston at 6'4", was just like a foot higher than those guys because he's a jumper. This kid is a leaper, and he was way above the rim and getting rebounds and just provided a great energy for that team.
Yeah, and the other thing that I don't know if a lot of people know or ever take it into consideration, how important your backup players are to push your starters when you scrimmage every day in practice.
Yes.
When you have such a dramatic drop-off between your top five or six players and the rest of the bench, you can't provide enough resistance for the team to grow as a whole.
Yes.
And that is always the, you know, like part of the secret sauce to a great basketball team. Guys will tell you forever, man. You know, you might never have seen Murray Weichel play in a game, but he was up our butts
right
every single day.
Exactly. When you got guys pushing you, making you better in practice, the unsung heroes and stuff, it is so important to do that so that when it comes to the game, they're ready to play.
Yep.
And they're ready to match the speed or the height or the energy that the opposing team's going to bring.
That's right. So, we, as you mentioned in your interview, the next up for TC West is the big rematch between Central boys and girls. So you're going to have a full afternoon of basketball next Friday.
Looking forward to it. Again, that's going to be at the Traverse City Central Gym. So a little closer drive for me, which is nice. About 2 miles.
or 30 minutes.
Yes, exactly.
Depending on the weather.
I don't have to go through the heart of TC there. It's looking forward to it. They brought a huge crowd to West a couple weeks ago. So I'm really looking forward to West taking a huge crowd there on a Friday night. Just doesn't get much better than that.
Yep. When we return here, we will focus a little bit on the other squad that we follow on our sister stations 100.3, Grayling versus Elk Rapids, with an interview with Coach L.J. Mead here on the Bill Marsh High School Scoreboard Show on Up North Sports Radio.
A lot of shots not going in.
It is. Welcome back to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins, Jerry Coyne with you in studio. And joining us now is the victorious coach of the Grayling Vikings. Huge win, LJ, over Elk Rapids last night.
Yeah, Rich, really, really fun game last night. Exciting. Kids played well, played hard. Proud coach this morning. It was a great week of Viking basketball.
Yeah. Now, Coach, last time we talked to you, you guys were dealing with some health issues. Are you guys back to relative full strength now?
Well, we're actually down two starters right now still. One from a gym class injury and another one who's still out sick. So I'm hoping next week that those turn around for us. But, in the meantime, our guys have embraced the situation and stepped up big time. And, honestly, they're playing very well together.
Yeah, Coach, I mean, with still down two starters and to go to Elk and get that 75-68 win, that's absolutely huge for the entire team.
Yeah, those the senior group of boys have never beat Elk Rapids before, and so I know that they they were all smiles in the locker room afterwards. To be honest with you, a great environment last night, man. Their student section was large, number one, and they weren't saying nice things to us. Let's say that. And our kids embraced that and. They let them fuel them a little bit and responded in a very very good way. Played intense. Got off to a good start. Got off to a nice lead there. I think we're up 12 in the first half, and they closed it a little bit. They closed it to 8 at halftime. Second half, they made runs at us. I At one point, they either tied it or were down two. But we responded every time, and you know that's sort of what I've been waiting to see from these kids. So just super exciting win, and you know, got out of bed this morning and was still smiling. So.
Yeah, I can imagine, Coach. Again, head coach of the Grayling Vikings, L.J. Mead, joining us here today. Coach, who were some of the kids that really stood out to you and not necessarily offensively, but really helped contribute to that big win?
Well, I think Ethan Kaharick played his best game as a varsity player by far. Yeah, both sides of the ball, he played really well. Dylan Craig played great. We got good minutes defensively from Cam Ketchum. Matt Pittman off the bench came in and knocked down a couple of threes. Maddox Mead played a couple of minutes of strong defense where we were able to get some of our starters a quick rest and back in. And so Sparty Skiller is playing great right now. Gave us huge minutes in the post, really owned that area. And then Jake Cartman came back from a little bit of an ankle injury, rolled his ankle earlier in the week, and he didn't know if he was going to be able to play him. After warm-ups, he's like, "Apple, I want to go." And so he gave us some really big minutes as well, filling in the post, which was probably a little bit unexpected for him. So that mentality, the next player up, you know, we have Nate Pershing has been out for 2 weeks for us, who's our starting center. And these guys, you know, put together a game that helped us win.
Well, you got a big rematch with Ogama Heights on Tuesday, Coach. That's going to be real important to in conference standings.
Yes, in terms of Ogama, they got us earlier in the year at the buzzer. We were in their place. And we didn't play well. The guys know that. They were frustrated by their effort, their energy. And, you know, we could have executed better. But in that game, they executed fairly well. We just didn't knock down shots. And Ogama packed a tight zone in. And, you know, for a team that shoots the ball pretty well, we didn't down there. So I know these guys have circled this game, and they're looking forward to another opportunity to change the outcome.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Coach. And, you know, we were talking about the big 75-68 win last night, but that wasn't your only win this week. Actually, a game against Harbor Springs, they were looking for their first conference win, and, man, they really battled you guys, but you guys were able to win 58-56.
Yeah, that was another fun game, or as people afterwards said to me, you know, what a great game. That was a great game last night. There's a lot of excitement around it. I said, well, you should have tried to be the coach because we did not. We came out a little tired, lethargic. It was one of those things. The kids got on the bus at 2 p.m. and they didn't play until 7:30. And, you know, there's a lot of sitting. And so we didn't come out and play the way that we're capable of, for sure. And I will tell you what, Harbor Springs came out and they were ready. They played hard. They played physical. They played fast. And they made it a game right from the get-go. And you know, I think they finished halftime on us on a 9-0 run to put us down 8 at halftime.
Oh, wow.
And it was one of those moments at half where, you know, we just kind of lit into the guys and then said, hey, this is on you guys to figure it out. And we gave them a moment in the locker room and they responded, which is huge. And to be honest with you, I think that came down to the end, continually grinding, battling in that game. And came down to the end where it seemed like every time we would make a run and look like we were going to be in a good position, they'd hit a shot, whether it was a three or a crucial bucket. And then finally at the end, we go up by three with Cam Ketchum on a layup that he gets fouled on. And so that puts us up three. He ends up missing the free throw. And they come down the floor, and we got a foul on a three-point shot with their best player. And so the best player goes up and knocks down all three free throws. We come down the other end, and out of a timeout, we called a timeout after we shot the first two and said, hey, here's what we want to run. And we went to execute that. The ball was going to Dylan Craig, and they double-teamed him, and he found Cam Ketchum in the short corner and knocked it down at the buzzer for the 58-56 win. So that was another exciting moment on the week.
Yeah. I mean, Coach, good for Dylan Craig recognizing that, too, instead of forcing a shot when he's double-teamed to give it up to an open teammate. And so it sounds like a good team win once again.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And that's the one thing we're really trying to push with these guys is, you know, we have Dylan and Caleb who have played a lot of AAU basketball who have been on the varsity for, you know, Dylan for four, Caleb for three. And, you know, when they start trusting in their teammates, that's when the good things, you know, and obviously some of that has happened this week, you know. And we can go back to Saturday with coming back with a lot of kids out from COVID protocols from the week, and big win over Charlevoix where our kids played really well. So you know, put together three strong conference wins, you know, Charlevoix on Saturday, Harbor on Tuesday, and then Friday up at Elk Rapids. So you know, one thing, I go back to that Harbor game, one thing I think, you know, playing in that environment and playing in that close game, and those kids, you know, haven't done a lot of that over the years. And them finding a way to win, I think, was huge last night at Elk. Figuring out and believing in themselves down the end, they really had some opportunities where the game could have got away from us. And what some of those moments that previously maybe were too big for them, they found a way to win it last night. So very proud.
Yeah, no doubt. You got things rolling along here, Coach L.J. Mead of the Grayling Vikings. Again, real close standings in the Lake Michigan Conference. You know, of course, St. Francis on top with 7-0, but by you guys beating Elk, Elk is 5-2 now. You and Boyne are at 4-3, so everything's still up for grabs because you got to play Boyne again. You got to play St. Francis, so the Lake Michigan Conference is still up for grabs.
I think we've talked on this a few times of how the top of that league is really strong, and you know, I think one of the best conferences basketball wise in Northern Michigan, and you know, someone's going to have to knock off St. Francis, and that's going to have to happen a couple times in order for anybody else to have a chance. So they're in a pretty good position right now, but you know, we like the way we're playing and in our direction, and you know, hopefully we can keep that trending in a positive way, and the kids can keep coming together and playing hard, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Coach, we'll be following you, of course, on your rematch with Ogama Heights at home on 100.3. Good luck then.
Thank you very much. You guys take care.
All right. Thanks, Coach. Keep that Viking train rolling down the tracks.
We're going to try. Go Vikes.
All right. Coach L.J. Mead from the Grayling Vikings mentioning Traverse City St. Francis, who didn't have much of a tough time against Boyne City in there. I was just checking.
Up at Boyne, too. They went into their place and really took control.
Yeah, and Coach is saying somebody's got to go ahead and beat St. Francis. Seven of their last 10 games are all at home.
Yeah, exactly.
So St. Francis has played everything on the road to this point. I don't know how catchable they are.
You got to go in the old barn-style gym over there at St. Francis and beat them at home, like you said, JC.
Yeah, as I said, yeah, not an easy task.
No.
St. Francis right now ranked number 5 in Division 3.
Yep.
Are they playing Benzie? Or did they already played them, didn't they?
You know what? I'm not sure here. If you just,
it doesn't matter. It's okay.
Yeah.
I thought they did play them and beat them either way.
Right.
They're both of them are on a collision course. Benzie got ranked as high as number 2, lost right away, but they returned to their winning ways last night.
Right. So some of St. Francis, they play Midland to end the season. their last regular season game is at home against Midland. So Midland's going to travel north and take on. So that
and a non-conference game to end the season.
Season, yes.
That's a little strange. When we return here on the Bill Marsh High School scoreboard show, we'll go over the plethora of scores from the Northern Michigan area and check in on my favorite Catholic League scores, which is populating the top 20 for teams in the state of Michigan. All that on Up North Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show, presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins and Jerry Coyne in studio with you. And as Jerry had mentioned, there were a whole lot of games around the state of Michigan on this Friday night, both boys and girls, and also have quite a few scores, JC, from Thursday night as well. But let's go over to the Friday night scores.
Well, let's do the Thursday night.
You want to do the Thursday?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go in order here then.
Yeah, let's put the cart before the horse.
Right, exactly. So anyway, so what took place on Thursday night again? Ogama Heights, they got beat by Houghton Lake on Thursday night. Again, this is boys basketball right now. Boys basketball. Houghton Lake won 49-46. So that's a big win for Houghton Lake against a tough Ogama team. Ogama has one really good player who's mentioned in the top 50, top 100 players in the state of Michigan. Lake City got a close win over Pine River, 61-55. One of those ranked teams in Northern Michigan, McBain Northern Michigan Christian, they beat Manton 56-50. Also, Beale City beat Roscommon 62-43. Glen Lake, they continue their winning ways. They beat Sutton's Bay 56-43. And as I mentioned, a whole lot of girls' games on Thursday night as well. We'll give you some of those. Pickford, that's a good girls' team. They beat Brimley 61-30. St. Ignace, once again, a really good girls' program. One of the most consistent, best girls' programs in all of the state of Michigan is St. Ignace, and they beat Cedarville 51-33. These are girls' scores. Charlevoix beat Kalkaska 54-13. Coleman beat Breckenridge 47-26. Gaylord, the Gaylord girls team, they've got a really good team this year. They beat Cadillac 46-37. Gaylord St. Mary's girls beat Lake Leelanau St. Mary's 62-50.
Yeah, two ranked teams in the second division for girls basketball. That St. Mary's program, always a good girls program.
Yes.
And then Rich, we were talking earlier, opened up with the TC West game, and they take on TC Central, who beat Alpena, who's been a nuisance to a lot of teams.
They have, they've been a real thorn in the side, no doubt about it, JC. They kind of came out of nowhere this year. Probably most people weren't expecting a whole lot from Alpena, but man, they are playing really well this year. So
yeah, they were out in front 24-11.
Wow.
In that game against TC Central, and Central obviously came back to pull out a much-needed win. That's a win that Central could not afford.
Exactly.
A loss, excuse me.
Right, yeah. If they would have lost that one, they could have...
They would have been upside down 2-3 in the conference.
Yes.
So, every game critical now in that Big North Conference.
Yeah, no question about it there, JC. We do have some scores from last night as well. Of course, these are all, the boys' scores right now. There was no score, didn't get any score from the Mount Pleasant Bay City Central game. But Fremont beat Big Rapids 57-54. We talked about here already, highly ranked number 5, Traverse City St. Francis. They beat Boyne City at Boyne City 58-42. So good win for them. Cadillac, we mentioned it here just a little bit ago in Big North action. Cadillac beat Gaylord 55-42, but good effort by that Gaylord team to get within 13 points. Again, there's no moral victories, but this Gaylord team has been struggling this year in scoring points, but it looks like they battled Cadillac last night. East Jordan beat Harbor Springs 58-40. We talked to head coach LJ Mead. Of course, the Grayling Vikings beat Elk Rapids 75-68 in boys action. Also, Lake Leelanau St. Mary, they beat Ellsworth 71-63. Joburg Lewiston, they put up 79 points on the scoreboard last night, beating Forest Area 79-26. Frankfort, they continue their winning ways. They beat Sutton's Bay 66-55. And Reed City beat Grant 66-44. Very similar score. Beaverton beat Harrison 58-45. And Inland Lakes in a close game over Gaylord St. Mary's boys 51-49.
Yeah, like you said, I'm looking at the massive amount of scores that were put up last night, and I like to touch in a little bit on the Catholic League down in Detroit, because six of the teams in the Catholic League are ranked in the top 20 in all divisions in the state. Not all those teams play in the exact same division, and the bloodletting continues to go on, much like the Big Ten. Brother Rice, who had lost on Tuesday, turned around and beat a highly ranked, as I think, seventh ranked University of Detroit team, and Orchard Lake St. Mary's, who began the season ranked number two in the state, lost to Warren De La Salle, who's ranked number eight. So that is going to be a bloodbath. The Catholic League championship down at UAD is going to be worth the price of admission if you're anywhere near Metropolitan to Detroit at the end of February.
Well, and after playing in that Catholic League, J.C., they're going to get to district play, and they're going to be well-tested.
Well, they are going to be all spread out. That's one thing that happens, because those schools are pretty well. You got Warren. You've got Novi Catholic Central, Birmingham Brother Rice, Orchard Lake St. Mary's, UAD Jesuit Place. They're going to end up in a really tough district down in the metropolitan or in the city of Detroit.
And I give credit to the Michigan High School Athletic Association. They do seed the teams now in district play, which they should have done a long time ago, but finally they do that, because you have 1-4 matchup, things like that, instead of a lot of times I'd seen it for years, JC, and I'm sure you had too. Two of the best teams would end up playing each other in the very first game of districts. Well, what good does that do anybody?
Well, we always it would end up with a couple of Detroit PSL schools in our district in Birmingham.
Sure.
You know, Pershing had come in, Cody would come in. They've always been a little cognizant of not having, you know, not Southwestern playing Central in the first game of the district. So, it's turning into a really exciting boys high school and girls.
Right.
Traverse City Traverse City West girls, they didn't play last night. Did they play Thursday?
Oh, let me see here, JC. I recall, the boys JV team preceded the varsity game last night. And let me see if the girls did play here. I'm checking out my girls' scores here. Again, you had mentioned Traverse City Central girls beat Alpena 38-30.
Right.
Let's see here if I can get in.
I do not see a Traverse City West girls score from Friday. I don't know if they played on Thursday.
Right.
They should have.
They should have, exactly. So, and I can go back to that. I do have some of the AP rankings for Northern Michigan schools.
Yeah, why don't you give us that?
So, yeah, okay, let me go over that right now. Again, this comes out on Tuesday. This is the boys AP poll. Division One, of course, we don't have a whole lot of those schools up here, but but Mount Pleasant did get an honorable mention. So in Division Two, also, these are all honorable mention teams. Boyne City, Standish Sterling. I threw Kingsford in there. And also Cadillac is a Division II honorable mention. Now we get to Division III, and we have a fair amount of ranked teams. Number two, Benzie Central. And right after that ranking come out, then Benzie did get beat by Glen Lake. But still, Benzie having a great season. Number three is Menominee at 9-1 overall. And like you said, number five, Traverse City St. Francis, they were 7-1 going into this week's action. They just continued to add to that total. Division four, of course, we have the most of those schools around Northern Michigan. Number three in Division four is McBain, Northern Michigan Christian. They are a perfect 8-0. Rudyard, they also are 8-0. They're the number three team in Division four. Hillman at 7-0. Onaway at 9-0. And Buckley tied for 10th at 6-2. So those are the boys' AP polls for, again, North Central Michigan.
Just to be clear, the reason why I bring it up, not to be a honk, Detroit King is ranked number one in the state. Orchard Lake St. Mary's is number two. Detroit Catholic Central is number three. Muskegon's number four. Detroit UAD Jesuits number five. Birmingham, Bloomfield Hills Brother Rice is number six. And Warren De La Salle is number 10. Now that is, I mean, even when in my glory years back in the 70s, when the Catholic League was a powerhouse, we never had that many teams ranked in the top 10.
Now, Detroit King, do they typically have a good basketball team, JC?
They have recently. It's not as an illustrious power as, say, Southwest, Southeastern, Southwestern, and Cass Tech, always really good basketball teams. And then you got some of the smaller schools like Detroit Renaissance has had a really good basketball program. Yes. But that school was only created in the late 90s.
Yes, that's a relatively new school. Yeah. And Detroit King, again, well noted for its football.
Yep.
So, I had not seen a whole lot of basketball success out of there, but, good for them for sure.
This is where where you end up hearing about kids when you watch college basketball, like, oh, that guy went to King.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's always fertile ground for great, great players, and there's a ton of them again this year.
I can't help but watch Big Ten basketball games, and the announcers will mention, oh, this kid's from Detroit. And I'm like, what? And then you look.
Never heard of him.
No, I never heard of him. Exactly. And you look him up, and you're like, oh, this kid was a real good player for Denby, for there's just so many schools down there that have excellent basketball players that, again, we've never heard of up here.
Well, you do when you go to when you go to the AAU teams and those games, and then St. Cecilia, which is still running a lot of great bats. Not as much with the AAU. Okay. I mean, back in the day, St. Cecilia is where everybody went to play, including pros who wanted to get good pickup games.
Yeah.
You know, I ended up in games that had George Gervin in it. And
growing up, I remember hearing about those games at St. Cecilia, the gym and everything there.
Well, the gym was a dirty dungeon.
Right. But something about it, it was a basketball haven.
Yeah, well, it was... You got refs. See, that's why people, instead of playing in the playgrounds, that league had refs. And so, high school coaches in the lack of AAUs would get their kids together. I don't even know what the rules were with the MHSAA about that.
Sure.
I know that our head coach wouldn't coach us. One of the assistants would do the coaching, and those guys would sit in the gym and kibitz.
Yes.
But, your team would sometimes get broken up. Magic Johnson would play in there, and like I said, George Gervin and Bob Lanier would show up. But, it was a lot of fun, and you took your lumps.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You're set your pride aside because this is some heavy hitters here.
Well, you learned how to play. The UADA kids would show up, Terry Durod and John Long and Terry Tyler and Kevin Cassetta, and the list goes on and on and on. I'm surprised. There probably has been a documentary made about it. But if not, we should get working on it right away.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, with our buddy Keith Gay, with his connections now and all that, why wouldn't we?
Yeah, Grant Hill and Chris Weber
Oh my gosh, yeah, no doubt about it, Jason.
Shane Battier. When we return here, Rich, we'll try to put together an outlook for next week's games. We know where you're going to be Friday.
That's right.
TC West doesn't have a game Tuesday.
They don't.
So we'll try to sketch in what's to look forward to as we get deeper and deeper into conference play here on the Bill Marsh High School Scoreboard Show.
Welcome back to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show, presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins, Jerry Coyne with you here in studio on this Saturday morning. And JC, I thought we'd start off going over some conference standings.
Yeah, it's always good to get caught up on where everybody sits.
Absolutely. A little bit over halfway through the season here as far as within conference play. But in the Big North right now, we've talked about it before, Cadillac. They sit atop the conference at 6-1, 9-3 overall. Traverse City West nipping at their heels now, with West being at 4-2 in conference play. TC Central, with that win over Alpena last night, they're at 3-2. Petoskey now dropped down to 3-3. Alpena 2-3, but 7-4 overall. Again,
yeah.
We talked about how surprised the Wildcats, yeah, are having a nice season for sure. And Gaylord 0-6 in conference play, 3-8 overall. And some of the games scheduled for next week, we have the Cadillac boys team. We're going to take a look at that. They're going to host Reed City early next week, a little non-conference action. Of course, again, only six
backyard
teams.
Battle.
Yeah, only six teams in the Big North, so they have a whole lot more non-conference games.
Right, Cadillac's played a huge schedule of non-conference games already.
They have, yep. And then after that Reed City matchup, they travel on the road to Alpena. So that's what is in store next week for the Cadillac Vikings. For Traverse City Central, of course, we mentioned they do take on West, but it looks like they had a scheduled game with East Grand Rapids that got postponed. They were going to play tonight. That was on the 29th of January, but that's been postponed.
Generally speaking, East Grand Rapids got a pretty good basketball program.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And so they will not be playing. So they'll have a week of practice as well when they host West. So let's take a look at Petoskey then and what's in store for them next week. They're going to play at home, and they're going to go non-conference against Charlevoix.
So another backyard brawl.
Yes, exactly. And then they travel on the road to take on Gaylord in their second game
right. Next
week. So that covers.
Yeah, there's the six teams right
yes,
there playing
absolutely.
All playing on Friday.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So again, let's go over the conference standings in the Lake Michigan Conference. We mentioned it earlier. Traverse City St. Francis, they lead 7-0 in conference play, 9-1 overall. Elk Rapids in second place with a 5-2 record. Boyne City and Grayling both at 4-3, 7-3, 7-4 overall. East Jordan having a nice year. They're 3-4 in conference play, 6-4 overall. Charlevoix 2-3 in conference play, but 6-3 overall. So really good teams. Some of them are underwater in conference play, but they've won a lot of games in non-conference play.
Yeah, as we mentioned, Grayling has got Ogama Heights at Grayling on Tuesday, and then they take on Kalkaska on the road on Friday.
And speaking of Kalkaska, they're at 1-5. It was 3-6 overall, and then Harbor Springs 0-6 and 3-6 overall as well. As you mentioned there, JC, let's take a look at what Traverse City St. Francis has coming up here. Again, they're sitting there at 9-1, so that's a great season for them thus far. They actually are at home early next week against McBain.
Yeah, as I told you, they're at home most of the rest of the
year.
Yes,
exactly. And then one of their few road games they have, they travel up to Harbor Springs for their second game of the week.
It's a good St. Francis basketball team, no surprise.
Yes.
And their girls' team as well.
Yes, yeah, no doubt. Elk Rapids, they're going to have a good week of basketball. Their first game of the week, actually their only game of next week, is away at Boyne City. So that'll be, again, some of these teams only play one game next week, and I think a lot of that was scheduling early on because of sometimes they'll do that just in case they have makeup games from weather conditions, things like that. Lack of officials. They almost always want to have an open date or two in this the early stages of February just in case they need that.
Yep. Continues the excitement and the attention continues to ramp up on both the boys and the girls squad. I was looking for some hockey scores. There wasn't even that many hockey games played this past or yesterday. The Bay Reps lost on the road last night to Flint Powers.
Okay.
So no hockey for West or Central.
Okay, I have some Thursday. Let me see if I can find any of the hockey scores here real quick, JC. Got the girls game of non-conference. Oh, I got Cadillac beat Mount Pleasant 7-0 in hockey. So, and then Petoskey beat Alpena 3-1, and Traverse City West beat Saline 3-1.
Saline goes in solution. Your eyes.
Yep, not the solution there. But TC West beat Saline 3-2. So those are three hockey scores we have from last night.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for the Bill Marsh Automotive High School Scoreboard Show. Thanks for joining us here on Up North Sports Radio. Coming up shortly at noon, the pregame for the huge Michigan State tilt across our Up North Sports Radio networks. So if you don't get a chance to pop in on the TV, then you'll be able to hear it here. Pardon me. And, of course, next Friday, we will do the Fick and Sons High School Sportscape, where we are actually giving some Thursday scores and laying out what's going to be happening here locally for high school boys and girls.
Yeah. Yep. Looking forward to that, JC. Appreciate you coming in every Saturday morning here.
Or most of the Saturday mornings. Won't be coming in a couple of weeks. Luckily, I'm heading to Florida. So,
good for you.
But no, we'll be here next week, as always, keeping you right on the dial for the best in Northern Michigan high school sports. Have a great weekend.